Welcome to the Conscious Millionaire Show, episode number 3206.
I am Ben Poucher, the executive director of Warrior Sailing, and today we're going to be discussing on the water from trauma to teamwork.
Welcome to season 12 of the award-winning Conscious Millionaire Show, the world's number one podcast on conscious business and performance, where you get the secrets to becoming a top 1% performer who creates wealth by impacting the world. With over 3,000 episodes and millions of listeners worldwide, this is where entrepreneurs, founders, and executives become the new heroes of business, ultra performers who scale faster, profit more, and impact bigger. I'm your host, JV Crum III. Join me for interviews and solo episodes three times a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And go to consciousmillionaire.com to learn about our ultra performer advising, consulting, retreats, and masterminds, because it's time for you to break out and become an ultra performer. Are you stuck at six or seven figures, maybe 250,000, 1 million, even 5 million, but know you should be scaling bigger and faster? You're not alone. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll get the three keys to accelerate your growth now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Download now and start scaling bigger, faster. Hi, it's JV, and I'm so excited you're here. And you know, if this is your first time checking out Conscious Millionaire, I just want to give you a warm welcome. In fact, I'm going to give you a big hug. I hope this is an amazing experience for you and that you'll not only be back, but bring some entrepreneurial friends with you. And if you're a longtime listener, you know what I'm about to say. This is exactly the episode you need at exactly this moment, because every episode of Conscious Millionaire is really an entrepreneurial training to help you perform at your highest levels, get out there, scale your business, make more profits, and make the impact you're on the planet to create. Now, help me welcome our featured guests. For the past 10 years, the organization he co-founded, Warrior Sailing, has taught over 850 wounded, ill, or injured veterans how to sail through our nationwide basic training model. His small but mighty team provides hope and a community for healing and finding new possibility for veterans. Help me welcome Ben Poucher. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the networking and getting on the show. So thanks for having me.
Well, you know, the power of networking, I go to a lot of things. And in Golden, Colorado, once a month, there is a Golden Startup Coffee. It's a couple of hours. I always meet incredible people. In fact, this latest one, just a couple of weeks ago, I have four people coming on the show that I met just from that event. I've met clients there. You know, it's the power of getting out when you're a founder and you're an entrepreneur, you're a leader, and getting into groups where you have an opportunity to meet people. Last night, I was at an event, met somebody who's going to be coming on the show, and I'm meeting with again today, who's an attorney who probably has a lot of my clients, and I might have his clients. So, you know, this is just how that all works. You know, folks, this is an unusual show in that we're going to be talking about a nonprofit, but I chose it because it's set up exactly like your business. It's set up as a business. And the work they do, while it's with veterans and trauma, you know, what I've discovered, all of us who are entrepreneurs, we have trauma from the past. We have to release it. They have a methodology that I think you're going to learn a lot about. And from it, I think you're going to extract some things you might want to utilize for yourself, as well as how you might want to do teamwork for your own business. You know, so let's start out with the backstory. Why did you decide to build this nonprofit to help veterans and specifically learn to sail?
I thought the intention wasn't really there. Like, what, we didn't really have an intention to build what has become 3,500 sailing opportunities, 850 graduates, a nationwide development program helping wounded, ill, and injured veterans. The backstory was I was a professional sailor. I was a boat captain. I took care of big racing sailboats, got into competitive sailing when I was in college, and I took care of some really big boats. One of my clients as a single arm amputee, and I helped him develop equipment. He wanted to go to Rio for the Paralympics in 2016 in sailing. And so I helped him achieve some of those goals. He didn't actually make the team, but I think it was probably the best learning experience and friendship building that we were able to do. And I met the Paralympic sailing world. I met people with disabilities. I watched how it changed their life. I watched the independence. I loved helping them. Because of that experience, I was invited to a veteran sail day in St. Petersburg, Florida. This was in 2013. And we realized that people weren't learning how to sail. They were just kind of getting taken for a boat ride. And a bunch of the veterans kind of cornered me after the event, noticed that I was in particular with the boat that I was on, we were learning how to sail. And they said, well, I want to learn how to sail. We don't want to come here and just like, be taken around. They call them pet event events. Like they don't really want to be coddled. These are adults. They might have some disabilities, but they want to learn how to sail and be a part of something. And so I petitioned a foundation. We stayed for 3 extra days. We started over again and said, look, these are the basics of sailing. I had some pro sailing buddies in town. I said, you guys got to come over and help me. And we did a 3-day camp. And 10 years later, after we got more official, all those veterans told their veteran friends and their friends told their friends. And I brought in a couple more teammates to help me make this thing happen. And now we're serving, we've served 830 plus, going to 850. And we're gonna coming up on our 50th basic training camp in 10 years. So
Oh.
it's just been word of mouth. So we've noticed the impact, we've seen what it can do, and it's been great. It's been amazing. Changed my life.
Well, one of the things that struck me is that you're working with vets who arrive dysregulated. And I, am a performance coach with entrepreneurs who often arrive dysregulated because that's just part of the entrepreneur world. The entrepreneur world is very difficult. It's not an easy journey. And oftentimes you get out of sync and you're not really regulated. So I'm curious, which parts of sailing help reliably restore the calm and the agency to the veterans?
The common theme we get in our exit surveys from our camps is the biggest missing piece in veterans' transition out of the military and into civilian life. It's the teamwork and camaraderie. And they want to have a goal. They want to work in teams. They want to be feel like they're a part of something. Everyone signed up to serve. And it's something that's lost. We don't really notice it in the civilian world. I'm a civilian. I don't have military service. I noticed that, hey, I have this really great teamwork sport and activity that's new to people. It's not something that they've done before and they want to do it. And it's alongside 3 other veterans with a coach. And I just saw all of this stuff click. Like everybody got on the boats. Everyone was super tentative. They were nervous. They were traveling. And we're talking about folks that might not have left their house in 6 months. We're not talking about people who are a little socially anxiety, have some social anxiety. We're talking about some serious cases of depression, isolation, dealing with post-traumatic stress, dealing with traumatic brain injury and the impacts of that, physical disabilities, and they show up nervous the first day they're testing our coaches. By day 3, it's like they're snapped back into their military life. They're with a civilian, so they're able to talk to the civilian about like what this is like. And I can see the camaraderie and the family built in a network and feeling like they belong. And it's been huge and transformative for a lot of different people, including the coaches, right? Like my professional sailing coaches who are civilians get a chance to come and give back to the sport that's given so much to them, give back to the community. And we've had all these new sailors. It's just the biggest piece there is the teamwork, camaraderie, and just treating everybody like humans, noticing that they have something that they might need to work on, and they get really comfortable. If somebody comes to one of our programs and they decide they want to go scuba diving or rock climbing or adventure in different places or have trouble with their VA benefits and they need to talk to somebody, I'm not the go-to answer for that. I do sailing. We focus on sailing, but on the boat and in the classroom and places, they have other people they can relate to. It's about finding passion, finding something new, getting off the couch and trying something. So it's a lot of what they had in service.
So I can understand because it sounds like they miss the camaraderie and the teamwork. How do you bring that into the sailing and do that safely on the boats?
It's an automatic thing in sailing because the boat will not go unless you're on a boat that's only made for one person, which people can choose to do that later. That's fine. We put people on clubs boats. So we travel the nation to different yacht clubs that I had had relationships with. They have us, they host us, and then we bring the veterans and the community and the coaches and our everything from life jackets to radios. We bring to the clubs, we use their boats, and there's three veterans, one coach on board. And my coworker's really good at, he's been working with adaptive sports and the military for 20 plus years. And he knows kind of service background and information they give us to put them and pair them with the right people, with the right coach. And you have to work together. The boat will not go. If one person decides that they don't want to trim the sails or don't want to pay attention in the classroom, the other two are going to have to make up for it and talk to them about it. So I always say, if you have trouble getting along with people, leave that in the classroom, because as soon as you get on the boat, you're all going to have to work together. And it works. And the teams can continue to get better and bigger, and warriors then eventually come back to other camps beyond the basic training camp. And we've developed a progressive program, so it's something that they can belong to, and it isn't just a one-time, one-and-done thing. They're there to learn, they want to know, they want to feel comfortable going and sailing, and then they sign up for the next level course. So the teamwork is part of our sport. It's part of the community and part of sailing that you can't get around it.
You know, it's interesting. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, coming up on 3,200 episodes, looking 5 years out, I can't think of anybody else I could ever ask this to. What does high performance healing sport, because that's what you're involved in, what's it going to look like 5 years from now?
I have crazy big ideas, and I'm kind of the visionary person within Warrior Sailing from founder to now. My coworker has been really good about focusing and not having mission creep and focusing on the veteran and what's good for them. And my crazy ideas have already started to come true. We have a clubhouse in Northern Michigan that we bring graduates from our nationwide camp to, that we do 3-day events, and it's advanced sailing. It's like graduate school. And I see that developing more into more races, more racing team, more cruising events and rendezvous in other locations, more next step sailing through our basic model. Like, we have done a great job and focused on the basic and what we call 101 or a certification course. And beyond those camps, we're providing more opportunities beyond that. And I could see in 5 years having more regional impact on the development of having sail days and new advanced sailing courses, and just really getting this model funded so that this basic and 101 courses can all continue and keep going and flourish. So, you know, it's not necessarily an expansion of like numbers per se. I think that waters down the intimacy of our program. The 30 under 30 person classroom is like, and actually under 26 we found is like a perfect amount, that if you get to 40, 50 and you're just trying to check the numbers off of how many people you have, you lose that ability for people to feel comfortable raising their hands and the communal kind of feeling that we have in the classroom. So I'm really looking to the next step, and I have some ideas of building some boats and traveling more with teams and getting more veterans who've been a part of our program back as coaches, and the development of having them help us more and more and utilizing that clubhouse in Michigan. And you know, I don't say it to them, but I think we could win a couple of big regattas and big races. I don't want to be dependent on how we do in the race, because it's not necessarily what we're there for. But the more we get into this and longer we have sailors, the really good sailors that we're developing out of this is pretty cool.
You know, I'm curious, what is the mindset? We've titled today's episode On the Water From Trauma to Teamwork. What's the mindset that someone has to have to come on this sailing 3-day adventure and actually accomplish that?
It is something we and our team are so grateful for, is that people trust us and we have focused really hard. I think the mindset is focus. We put our head down for 5 years to really focus on getting our program at that basic level impactful, so that the warrior, the veteran, the people around us trust what we're doing is helping them. And from an email and an application, they show up to San Diego, Annapolis, St. Petersburg, pretty much sight unseen. And we are want to make sure that communication is done, and they're sitting in a classroom, and it's like, okay, now we're going to deliver what we said we're going to deliver, which is to focus on making sure our program is impactful, they get around other people, and focusing on the things that make it a really good program and a really good experience for the veterans, so that they want to come back and want to continue sailing and being a part of the community. So really, it's been a focus of ours is to really make sure that we're doing this for the right reasons. We're not growing for the sake of growing, and we don't have mission creep. We're not going to get into paragliding. Like, that's not what we do. We do sailing, we teach instruction, we help people, and we want them to feel comfortable and trusted so that they want to come back.
So if you were advising, say, an entrepreneur who's putting together a team program, because a lot of entrepreneurs provide that kind of service, what would you say would be a number one strategy they needed to start with?
Oh man, I really think that that strategy and focusing on what you can be better than other people at and be unique, I think is a really good focus and focal point that, you want to stand out. What can you be the best at? And how do you put a good team together? We have a really good small team. It's two of us full time that run Warrior Sailing nationwide. We have a couple part-timers that help us with some social media and help us out, but Corey is my coworker, is really good at the things I'm not very good at. And I'm really good at the things he's not necessarily that great at. And we make a really good team. And we have built this around that camaraderie and that teamwork that we have. So, focusing on your mission, being better than other people at what you do really well, and then putting a good team together. I think, Jim Collins said it best, got to put the right people on the right seats on the bus, get her going in the right direction. And that's what we do.
And so it's the day to execute. What do you tell people?
The day to execute.
Yeah. So you're creating a new program like you did and go, okay, it's time to execute. What's the first step in execution?
What do you, I would want to ask each person what they bring to the table and get everybody focused on why they're there. We do that before every one of our basic courses. We get together in the night before with our coaches and we talk about all the resources that we send them about working with people with disabilities, veteran communities, what we're there for. Focus on what we're there for, keep asking the question, what's good for the veteran? And then it's like trust your ability. Everyone's in the room for the right reason if you have the right team together and you trust your intuition on that and you move forward as a team. And communication is a huge piece of what we do from the veteran to the coach, between communicating when people arrive to when they're continuing in with the program. So, those are all like good pieces of the puzzle is to know your role and stay focused on what's good for the veteran in our case. And that could be what you focus on in your business. I mean, if you keep going back to that same core value, is this good for the veteran? Is this good for the people we're serving? And if it isn't, you don't do it. That just changes where you're going.
We're here with Ben Paltry, he's co-founder of Warrior Sailing, and we'll be right back. Are you stuck at the six or seven-figure level, maybe 250,000, 1 million, even 5 million or more, but know you should be scaling bigger and faster? The truth is, most founders are leaving millions on the table because they don't have the right formula. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto: Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll discover the three exact keys you need to break through your plateaus and accelerate growth starting now. Because if you're like most entrepreneurs I meet, you want to profit more, make a bigger impact, and enjoy lasting financial freedom. I'm J.V. Crum III, and after two exits and $75 million in revenues, I've learned how to help entrepreneurs like you scale bigger and move faster than ever before. And as a listener to the Conscious Millionaire Show, you get special access to my manifesto today. So act now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. That's consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Again, go now to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Download your manifesto today and start scaling bigger, faster. Hi, it's JV. I'm the host of the Conscious Millionaire Show. Welcome back. And if this is your first time listening to us, or you are listening, let's say, on our syndicated radio show across the United States, you're probably going to listen to the first part of this show all over again. And you might have missed it. Just go to consciousmillionaireshow.com. I'm here with Ben Pouncher, and we've been discussing On the Water from Trauma to Teamwork. I want to thank you. This is the moment I want to praise you for showing up, for taking the moment to be with us, because every show is an entrepreneurial training for you, but you have to show up. And I want to thank you for what you're doing in the world, for building your business, for wanting to scale it more so that you have more impact, for wanting to make more profit so that you can pay for the services and the products that you provide to the world. And I especially want to thank all of our listeners and friends in St. Petersburg, Florida, and Charlevoix, Michigan. And now it's time for the 24-hour challenge. Ben, what's the challenge you have for everyone listening today?
Well, the 24-hour challenge that I came up with is more of a of the conscious human type thing that we do at Warrior Sailing, and we tell all of our coaches is I want everyone to take a moment in the next 24 hours to be aware and recognize and use the best empathy muscle you have and you've trained with to realize that there's people amongst us, whether they're veterans or civilians, are all going through a lot of things, and everyone's busy, but everyone's got a lot of trauma or things that they're dealing with on a daily basis, and no one escapes those things. So, take the next 24 hours, recognize it, be aware of the people around you, maybe ask somebody how they're doing.
I think that's a great thing, and what really brings kind of Brad Feld, who we both know, give first idea forward, is that first, let's just give. Let's go out there and let's make a difference with our lives. Well, folks, you know what's up next. It's the lightning round, 8 questions, 8 minutes, performance mindset. What's the performance mindset you've developed that helps you discover your best opportunities?
I think it's something we talked about a little bit was the focus. I really think that focusing in on the things and the reason that you're doing business and the impact that you can make, whether that's a for-profit business or like our case of a 501 social sector, we're trying to make a big impact and focusing on what you're going to be good at and really doing that. That's where you start.
You know, a strategy that you've used to scale Warrior Sailing.
We started out by doing camps in one location and we took a model that worked. I think my coworker is really good at making sure that we start with small things, try them out, see if they work, get impact, kind of studies, see if it's actually something we should do before jumping in too much and getting what I've said a couple times is that mission creep, especially with nonprofits. There's always a lot of people that have a lot of really great ideas. We call them great idea fairies in the nonprofit world, and they're fantastic and help us, but a lot of times that can get away from your primary mission. So starting small, trying things, testing it out, and then figuring out what works and moving it forward. And we've done that to expand to other locations, but we wanted to make sure we had a good model in place to make sure that it was effective when we did that. So bullets first, cannonballs next.
Well, I think this next topic it fits right in because, our belief structure can keep us in a small mind or not just a growth mind, but an expansive mind. You kind of have to choose. You want to stay small or do you want to be expansive? And what kind of impact do you want to have? What kind of wealth do you want to build? What kind of difference do you want to make with your life? What's a belief that's helped you get into that expanded mindset and see more possibilities?
I think for me personally, experiencing some life-changing events and trauma, like through losing my mom about the same time Warrior Sailing was getting going, was a big impact on my life and sobriety. I know a sailor that doesn't drink, that's kind of uncommon in the world, but I think it's become more and more prevalent in the community. And watching a lot of warriors that struggle with substance abuse and struggle with isolation and depression. It's been a big process since we started Warrior Sailing. I've been sober now for, shoot, I could lose track of time, but it's been a healthy alternative and it really has allowed me to focus on the program, on family, on relationships, on my personal life. So I'd say sobriety is probably one of the biggest things for me. It's been a really, really cool experience and a really good adventure for me.
What's a personal practice you do on a regular basis?
I think the best thing for me is exercise. Oof, like, getting out and being active and just moving. I think it's been a huge piece of the puzzle. I've surrounded myself by a bunch of people who are active as well. That's probably a big part of my community is to making sure that people can be accountable for getting out and moving your body. I know you participate in a lot of, or you do a lot of meditation. I think that's been a big piece of my journey as well, but definitely active, man, just getting out and being active, I think is huge, whether that's a walk or a run or being skiing or sailing or doing any of those things. It's been a huge piece of what I do.
I know you want to actually recommend a couple of books. So, what are the books you want to recommend to us, Ben?
Yeah, one book was too hard. So many good business books that we use. I think the first one and encompasses a lot of the things in focus is Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. I think that's just a great start. She has a whole collection of books, but I think probably for entrepreneurs and people that might be a little bit under the radar, that's not, on a bestseller list at this point, I don't think is it's a book called Fix This Next by Mike Michalowicz. And I know Mike's been on the show before,
Right.
but this Fix This Next is a great, tangible, easy read. And if you listen to it, he's hilarious. And so it's a really good thing to really focus on what is next that you need for your business.
What's the biggest challenge you have with Warrior Sailing?
Well, I mean, we're in the social sector. I don't like to call them nonprofits. I think that puts us in such a box, but we are helping people, and it's you never have enough time, money, or people. And out of those three-legged stool, there's always one that seems to be lacking. And funding makes everything possible. And I'm on a mission to make sure that this program lasts even beyond me. And so, funding is a big part of it. We do what we do. We're very good at what we do. We have a good set system. And I just want to make sure that this lasts forever. So funding is probably the hardest piece of raising money. It's just a difficult thing to do.
So, if someone's a vet or they know a vet who could benefit from this, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Sign up online, warriorsailing.org. You can come to our social platforms as well. We're on Instagram and Facebook and on LinkedIn. It's really, if you have somebody that needs this support and you think it would be good for them, they can sign up online. You can sign up online. The applications come to my coworker and my desk. Like, we're a very small shop. So the applications don't get shipped out and sent to us. Like, it's all very personal. So you sign up online and get in touch with us that way. And if you're a veteran that feels like you need this and don't think it's for somebody else, if you're saying that question to yourself, most likely you should be someone that signs up. Whether you've been out for a while or you feel like you just need something or you want to learn how to sail, like all those things will work and we'll try and get you into a camp. We have a pretty big wait list, so get on that list early.
The final question I'm going to ask, I think, is the most important question we can all ask ourselves. I've been asking you since 2014. What's the legacy you want to leave, Ben?
Oh man, the legacy that I'd like to leave is continuing to create these opportunities for people that need a little bit of help, whether that's civilians that notice what we're doing or veterans that I've become friends with. The impact that I've been able to have so far, and if I could continue doing that and even put it past me, that if somebody picked up the torch at some point and I had a different avenue or a different path, I'd want my legacy to be that it was something that was created and lasted way beyond anything, and we're just helping more people. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be able to do what I do. I have the coolest job, and your job looks pretty cool too, but I get to go out and go sailing and help people. So it's pretty
That's,
good.
yeah, that is a kind of a cool job. I want to thank you for showing up again. Ben and I met each other. We could have a thousand conversations, but without you, it's not a podcast. You're the most important factor here. And I want to thank you for showing up. And I look forward to connecting with you. We're 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And Ben, thank you so much for being our featured guest today.
Thanks so much for having me. Your book was great. I'm looking forward to the next edition and more information and meeting up with you and grabbing a coffee and seeing you at other networking things. So I'm really happy to have been a part of this, and thanks so much for everything you do too. Thanks for highlighting really, really great entrepreneurs and people that are out. So thanks so much.
Are you stuck at six or seven figures, maybe 250,000, 1 million, even 5 million, but know you should be scaling bigger and faster? You're not alone. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll get the three keys to accelerate your growth now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Download now and start scaling bigger, faster.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Millionaire Media Podcast Radio Network. The host, producer, and owner of the show, distributors, and broadcast media make no claims that the strategies and information discussed in the show will result in profits and may result in losses. The opinions and advice from the host guests do not necessarily represent those of the owner, staff, management, or broadcasters of the show. No legal, accounting, or financial or health advice is made in the show. You're advised to seek counsel on matters related to your business, financial investments, or other legal matters from licensed advisors. Always consult your physician or licensed health advisor prior to making any changes in your diet, exercise program, and implementing any health strategies or information discussed on the shows. Not all information provided may be suitable for your situation. As always, take full responsibility for the decisions and actions you take, including the responses that they create in your health.
Welcome to the 12th season of the Conscious Millionaire Show, episode number 3208.
Hi, I'm Dr. Fred Grover. I'm a family physician here in Denver, Colorado. I work out of a functional medicine clinic called Forum Health in Denver, and I'm the author of five books. This recent book is titled Psychedelics for Brain Health, and I'm going to entertain you talking about how psychedelics can enhance your cognition, your neuroplasticity, and more.
Welcome to Season 12 of the award-winning Conscious Millionaire Show, the world's number one podcast on conscious business and performance, where you get the secrets to becoming a top 1% performer who creates wealth by impacting the world. With over 3,000 episodes and millions of listeners worldwide, this is where entrepreneurs, founders, and executives become the new heroes of business, ultra performers who scale faster, profit more, and impact bigger. I'm your host, J.V. Crum III. Join me for interviews and solo episodes three times a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And go to ConsciousMillionaire.com to learn about our ultra performer advising, consulting, retreats, and masterminds. Because it's time for you to break out and become an ultra performer. Are you a founder at six, seven, even eight figures, but your profits feel too small, maybe way too small? You're not alone. Most entrepreneurs leave millions on the table. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll discover the three keys to multiply profits and build lasting wealth. Download now. Go to ConsciousMillionaire.com/manifesto and start profiting more now. Hi, it's JV, and you know, I am so excited you joined me. If you're an entrepreneur, an expert, or a professional, this is the place for you. If you want to become an ultra performer and perform like the top 1%, where you can literally scale fast, profit more, and make a bigger impact. Well, welcome to Conscious Millionaire Show. If this is your first time checking us out, a big warm welcome. In fact, you know what? I'm going to give you a hug. Thank you so much for being here. I hope it's an amazing experience. If you're a longtime listener, you know what I'm about to say. There are no accidents. This is exactly what you're meant to hear at exactly the moment you're listening. Help me welcome our featured guest. He's the author of Psychedelics for Brain Health and explores the cutting-edge neuroscience and ancient wisdom coverage to heal, enhance, and expand the human mind. Fred is an expert on how psychedelics promote neuroplasticity, reduce inflammation, and foster emotional resilience while awakening you to higher states of consciousness. Help me welcome Dr. Fred Grover Jr. Fred, welcome back to Conscious Millionaire.
It's great to be back, JV, and love having another discussion with you. It's been a while. And,
it has.
Looking forward to this deep dive we're going to make today.
Well, I actually met you on a night that we had a horrible snowstorm, and you were presenting at the Boulder Bookstore, and I think six of us, you know, braved the storm and came out, but I knew I was supposed to go to this. And you were producing your book, Spiritual Genomics, and you became my physician. Because I read the book and I go, oh my God, this is the guy I need to work with. Because you take, I remember the most important thing that you said to me, and I've always remembered it. You can heal from anything. And that's a very different perspective than conventional medicine. That's saying, oh, you can take a drug for life and have the disease forever. And I'm going, well, that's not very interesting. And so I ended up working with you. But I am so excited about your new book, Psychedelics for Brain Health. Let's kind of start, if you're an entrepreneur, an expert, a professional, this is an area to look at, but let's talk about what you mean by psychedelics, because a lot of people are like, oh, we should just be dropping out over here. And I don't think that's what you're talking about. You're talking about how do we use these in a way that really promotes brain health, really promotes even longevity.
Correct. What I'm looking at is the mindful, conscious, and responsible application of psychedelics to enhance your spiritual growth, to awaken, but even on a more deeper physiologic, neurologic level, improve your cognition, your creativity, your neuroplasticity, and much, much more as a result of using them in this way instead of, say, going to a rave and taking MDMA. I'm talking about going out in nature and enjoying a nice dose of magic mushrooms or psilocybin to connect you more deeply to the trees and nature around you.
I'm curious, because even ketamine, we'll talk about that in a moment. But when you're talking about the psilocybin or, you know, different drugs like that, how do you utilize those in a way that is both spiritually awakening and functional in a way that's going to actually help you be able to perform at a higher level?
A lot of that is the process of intention setting and then also following the psychedelic journey with integration. And so I think if you go in with an intention of, I want to let go from the craziness of my daily life and sit in the forest and connect to the beauty of nature, whether it's the sacred geometry of a flower that I'm looking at while I'm sitting along a mountain stream, or just taking in the sunlight and the energy of the planet, that could be the spiritual part. While you're in that process, oftentimes you'll have these downloads, as I call them, and the downloads can be aha moments where you're like, oh my God, this is crazy what I'm doing in my current business right now, and I need to shift and maybe bring on a new person to expand this new creative idea that has just come in. And it may even allow you to recognize that you need to balance your life in a way that will give you more energy and presence and then now to be a better leader in the company. So there's just a myriad of opportunities that come in during these particular mushroom ceremonies. And now they can be done on your own, but I do advise that people do it with a facilitator who has expertise and can kind of hold space and help you through some of the rougher elements of it, particularly for your first 3 to 5 journeys. In the process of having a facilitator, that can also help you with the integration at the end in terms of helping understand what came in, almost like a Jungian psychologist would do a dream interpretation.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because I have a master's in clinical psych and I've studied Jungian psychology. So, you know, you've got the collective unconscious, you have different aspects of it that you're tapping into. If you're listening, you might be asking yourself, okay, maybe I've explored this, maybe I haven't, but how does someone choose a facilitator? What are they looking for?
That's a great question, JV. You know, first of all, we have to look at the legalities that are present in a particular state. And in Colorado, we have the Natural Medicine Act, which has allowed us to actually open up, I believe, 3 facilities now where you can go and legally do a psilocybin journey. The downside of it is it's extremely expensive, like $4,000 to $5,000 for a half an afternoon, which will include the intention setting and the integration the week following. But that's a lot more costly than doing it on your own, which would probably be, you know, $30 for the,
right,
the mushrooms.
Right, I was going to say that the psilocybin is not that expensive.
Yeah, and then, you know, a facilitator outside of the construct of the Colorado Plant Medicine Act would be more around $400 for an afternoon. So you can do it underground, but you have to recognize the risk of that they're not certified. And then it does have some particular legal risk, but not so much in Colorado. It's been decriminalized. And I think the main thing is, being smart if you work via the underground and not putting it out on Facebook and social media that you're at this location with such and such doing it. Obviously, most people aren't going to be that crazy. So I think it depends on the individual. If they want a really safe set and setting that where they don't have to worry about any legality, they can go to one of these certified centers here in Colorado. I believe Oregon may have some as well. But if they want to go at it on their own, they can grow their own. You're not supposed to buy it from somebody, or it could be donated to you. And then you could procure a facilitator, which many of them will advertise on the internet, but not necessarily as a facilitator for psilocybin, but as a facilitator for mindful-based journeys or breath work, things of that sort.
Okay. So those are the code words to look for.
Right, right. And if you read like Michael Pollan's book, How to Change Your Mind, he talks about his journey to finding facilitators where he would interview them and then eventually select one that he felt comfortable with in terms of their expertise, that they had a Jungian psychology background or at least a clinical psychology degree, then he would feel more comfortable with them monitoring his psychological health during the journey. So yeah, you can do it underground, above ground. But yeah, definitely respect the law and be aware of the potential risks.
So Colorado really has covered it differently than most states. Can people just fly in, you know, choose someone and they fly in to have this experience?
They can, absolutely. And I believe all those centers are listed online. If you were to Google it, you know, certified psilocybin centers of Colorado, you could probably find them pretty easily. And that'd be a great way to go. Otherwise, you can piece it together on your own. There are opportunities available in places like Costa Rica, Peru, for other plant medicine ceremonies, Mexico, of course. And those are also good options, but you want to go with a reputable center and be able to vet them as well.
Let's focus on the brain health. What is the brain health in terms of your performance? If you're an entrepreneur, expert, professional, and you want to perform at a higher level, how does this help your brain health?
You know, it's a multifactorial process. And I would say one of the biggest ones that I found in doing my extensive research is that it stimulates brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF. And in layman's term, I like to call it miracle grow for the brain. Now, we can stimulate BDNF through exercise, through mindfulness, through EWOC therapy, exercise with oxygen therapy. We can stimulate it even by having good sex and oxytocin levels being bumped. But the most profound way to stimulate BDNF is with psychedelics. And some of the psychedelics that really stimulate brain-derived neurotrophic factor the most include ketamine, LSD, psilocybin, even San Pedro and ayahuasca. So both the synthetic as well as the plant medicines can stimulate it for quite a while. And what's interesting is certain ones that last longer, particularly LSD, which lasts about 12 hours, will clearly give you a larger bump in the BDNF because of the longer duration of action. And then you'll also have what we call a longer critical period, which the critical period is a period in which after a journey, you have this opportunity for increased creativity, improved neuroplasticity, and in the presence of a good facilitator, you can kind of come up with these almost vision quest opportunities to create a new business plan, to create a new lifestyle that you may desire, et cetera. So it's important to seize the moment on the critical period. And with LSD, you get about a week's long time for that window of opportunity. Yeah. But for mushrooms, because it's only 4 hours of a session, you only get about 2 or 3 days of the critical period with that.
Interesting. I wasn't aware of that. You know, just in full disclosure, I've done LSD, I've done ayahuasca. Both of them had, for me, but my body tends to respond to alcohol, pain medication, about twice what most people do. So as you might recall, when I had a pain medication, I take half of it, not the full amount. So both of those had, I would say, the journey, or what you might call the trip or whatever, was intense for 3 days on both LSD and ayahuasca. So I had a very intense journey. Fortunately, I've been very, very fortunate in that those were extremely positive experiences for me. But one of the concerns that I want to say is that if you're considering doing any of this, there's actually no way to predict what kind of experience you're going to have. And that's one of the reasons you want to be with somebody who's experienced, because if you are having some unpleasant experiences, they can help you move through that. You know, what is the mindset that, say, an entrepreneur might have who wants to combine this with other things they're doing to be what I call an ultra performer? What should be the mindset that's going to set them up for success?
Well, I would say boldness is definitely a big part of the mindset for diving into psychedelic therapies. And with that boldness and a sense of adventure and an ability to trust in the medicine, to trust in the trip sitter or the facilitator, you'll find that you'll get great rewards from the experience. Now, I think a lot of people that don't have the boldness and they go in with a setting of fear and doubt and they're uncomfortable with the setting, that they lock themselves down and they don't have this expansive spiritual journey and they don't get the downloads and they truly don't get the neuroplasticity because the brain is kind of locking itself down a little bit more in that what we call the default mode network. And you're not allowing the plant medicine to open you up and expand your consciousness. So a lot of that element of seizing the opportunity for an entrepreneur to go big within themselves and within their vision is being bold, being fearless, letting go, and letting the psychedelic medicine work its magic.
Yeah. And I think that was a great synopsis. We're here with Dr. Fred Grover Jr., his new book, Psychedelics for Brain Health, and we'll be back in 60 seconds. Are you a founder at six, seven, even eight figures, but your profits feel too small, maybe way too small? You're not alone. Most entrepreneurs leave millions in profits on the table. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll discover the three exact keys to expand margins, multiply profits, and build lasting wealth. Because if you're like most founders I meet, you want more than revenue. You want true financial freedom and the impact it allows you to make. I'm J.V. Crum III, and after two exits and $75 million in revenues, I've learned this truth. Profits are the fuel for freedom, growth, and impact. The manifesto shows you exactly how to claim more of each of these. And as a listener to Conscious Millionaire, you get special access today. So act now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. That's right, consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Again, go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto. Download your manifesto today and start profiting more now. Welcome back. I'm J.V. Crum III, host of the Conscious Millionaire Show. My guest today, Dr. Fred Grover Jr., he is the author of the new book, Psychedelics for Brain Health. And this is the moment that I want to take just for you. I want to thank you for showing up, not for us, for you. Showing up because I believe every time you show up, you're going to absorb from what is really an entrepreneurial training, ideas that you can then put to force in your business. You can expand your business, expand your mind about what is even possible for you. And I especially want to reach out and thank all of our listeners and friends in Berlin and Copenhagen. And now it's time for the 24-hour challenge. Fred, what's a challenge that you could have for everyone today that would move them forward? And I'm going to add, go get the book Psychedelic for Brain Health and read this because it will open your mind to new possibilities.
Yeah, great question. I would say a good challenge would be to research the definition of neuroplasticity and metaplasticity and determine if that's something you would like to integrate into your brain health and how you might be able to best accomplish that. And it can be definitely the psychedelic approach, but there's other things you can do, such as breath work and neurofeedback, et cetera, too. So my challenge is to do a little research and to explore the huge benefits of neuroplasticity.
Wow, I think that's a great challenge, along with taking a look at psychedelics for brain health. And now it's time for the lightning round. We're going to start with your performance mindset, because you've really become quite a well-known doctor, not in just in Denver, but throughout Colorado for the work that you're doing. What's the performance mindset you've created that helps you discover the right business opportunities, the directions to take your own practice?
Great question. I would say open-mindedness and not being, you know, outright skeptical of an idea or a concept and being willing to explore all potential avenues of problem solving, of business creation, et cetera. In that light, you know, a lot of what I do is twice a month. I will do a deep dive with psychedelics, oftentimes with my partner. She and I will hold a very conscious meditative state out in nature. And I walk my talk in terms of trying to explore the outer edges of the universe and to see what it has to offer me in terms of out-of-mind ideas and concepts to go further and further in my practice to help others live a fuller life.
Well, you and I both know that you can have a set of beliefs that keep you in a very small mind, and therefore you never really expand, and you never really do the purpose. You never really fulfill that purpose that you're on the planet for. Or beyond what has been called a growth mindset, I now think about an expansive mindset. What's a belief that has helped you expand your mindset about what's possible for what you're doing in the world?
I would say, you know, a lot of it is perseverance. When I feel like I've failed at something, being perseverant to get back up and to be bold and to have confidence in myself. So much of it is self-confidence and knowing that, you know, even if I may not have been successful with something, that I've got the power to pick myself back up and be strong and go at it again. So that would be probably where I would come from in regards to that.
Well, I want to recommend your book, Psychedelics for Brain Health. What's a book you'd like to recommend, and what do you think the listeners will get from that book?
Yeah, I like How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan. It was written a few years back. He's a Pulitzer Prize winning author, and he kind of goes into the whole journey that he explored in terms of considering psychedelics, trying magic mushrooms, and what he benefited from it, some of the bumps on the roads. And then he discusses lightly some of the research that I deep dive into in Psychedelics for Brain Health. So it's a good starter book or a good complement to my book in terms of understanding the benefits of psychedelics and the current dynamics of getting into the world of psychedelic medicine.
But, you know, your book, Spiritual Genomics, I wanted to bring that up because that was where I met you at the Boulder Bookstore when you were promoting that book. And it's a, folks, it's a thick book, and it's a thick book worth perusing and contemplating. I would say that's the way you ought to approach the book. Let's do a little deeper dive on psychedelics for brain health. What really motivated you? I'm working on a new book, so I know that when you write a book as an author and when you've written several books that you have a reason for writing it. What was the reason for writing that book?
You know, some of it is related to what I've experienced over the past 20 years with psychedelics in terms of feeling sharper, feeling more creative, more open-minded, as mentioned. Definitely an element of being able to connect to nature, feeling more concern for the survival of our planet and climate change, things of that sort. But also recognizing that psychedelics help us become more compassionate and empathetic towards others. Mm-hmm. And then thinking to myself, you know, how could I help this planet be a more loving, caring place? And my answer was, I need to share all I've learned from psychedelics and all I've learned from what others have shared with psychedelics and put it out there so that they can change their brains in a favorable manner that will make them a more caring, loving, smarter individual. And I think that, you know, as we look at and we explore the benefits of psychedelics, it may also reduce our risk for things like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, other neurodegenerative conditions. So from a more allopathic medical perspective, I've looked at the current therapies for those neurodegenerative conditions, and they suck. They really don't do a whole lot. And I think if we're able to combine in neurotropic, brain regenerating therapies from psychedelics in addition to the traditional medications, we may actually make some quantum leaps in terms of preventing or reversing Alzheimer's or mild cognitive decline related to age. So yeah, it's just a whole myriad, again, of things that could come out of the use of psychedelics, the responsible use of psychedelics, that I think we need to appreciate. And I'm so hopeful that eventually we'll legalize psilocybin, or at least make it like THC or marijuana, and that will fund more ongoing studies in terms of the benefits of psychedelics. But there's just so much of a stigma, unfortunately, and a hell of a lot of ignorance around psychedelics in terms of people saying, oh, they're just going to make people crazy and whatnot, when instead it actually does the opposite. It makes them smarter, more intuitive, more creative, et cetera. So that was my intention, make it a better world, right?
Well, and that's why I'm building a Conscious World Foundation, to do work in 100 countries and create conscious leaders so that we can create a world in which all human beings have food, shelter, healthcare, and access to education. Because that, to me, is a better world. But that's a higher conscious world. We don't get there through lower consciousness, because that's just where people feel separate. And if the homeless person doesn't have food, they might feel sorry for them, but they don't feel like they're the homeless person. And maybe we need to change how society works so that everybody has an opportunity. And I don't mean that as an entitlement program. I mean it as an empowerment program. And I think what you're talking about is, how do we empower people at a higher level? What are the different avenues for that? If somebody wants to reach out to find out more about you, or perhaps to work with you in your clinic, how would be the best way for them to get in touch with you?
The easiest way is just to go to my fredgrovermd.com site. And that way they can read about my practice. They can read about my books and speaking opportunities, all those kind of fun things. If they want to read a little bit more about the book, I have a psychedelicsforbrainhealth.com page for that as well.
And, you know, my final question, and I think it's the most important question for us as humans to ask ourselves, what's the legacy you want to leave from all this work you're doing?
My legacy would be to continue to share my thoughts and my words through books and through podcasts like this, to help people enrich their lives, to help them improve their health, to improve their lifestyle, their longevity, their love for one another, particularly in this very divided, toxic world that we're living in. I really want to see things shift back towards states of togetherness or oneness. I want to leave a legacy for my two children, Brooke and Keaton, so that they can live in a world that is not destroyed by climate change, is not destroyed by global nuclear war, that is sustainable in a way that can afford their own homes and put food on the table and do great work for others as well. And I'm concerned about what AI is bringing. I think there's a lot of hype around the benefits of AI, but in the wrong hands, I think it's just going to create more of a wealth gap. And how can we bring these tech bros and other people to a state of global concern and global sustainability in light of population growth, pandemics, climate change again, and everything else that's happening? And I hope that my little ripple in the water will wake some of them up to the greater good of mankind.
Well, I would summarize this, and I've known you for quite some time, but to be what you're talking about, even when you talk about AI, is compassion and love. I mean, I think that's at the core of what you and I both want for human beings, that we raise our consciousness so we're operating on a daily basis from compassion and love for one another. And I think that makes a completely different approach to business, to life, to relationships, to everything that you do. I want to thank you for showing up today. And I told you, this is exactly the message you needed at exactly this moment. I hope that it was, and that you're going to take something from this show and apply it. Go take a look at Psychedelics for Brain Health. And I look forward to connecting with you on our next Conscious Millionaire. We're here 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And Fred, thank you so much for being our featured guest today.
Great. Thank you, JB. Really enjoyed it.
Are you a founder at 6, 7, even 8 figures, but your profits feel too small, maybe way too small? You're not alone. Most entrepreneurs leave millions on the table. That's why I created the Conscious Millionaire Manifesto, Achieve Your Impossible. Inside, you'll discover the 3 keys to multiply profits and build lasting wealth. Download now. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/manifesto and start profiting more now.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Millionaire Media Podcast Radio Network. The host, producer, and owner of the show, distributors, and broadcast media make no claims that the strategies and information discussed in the show will result in profits and may result in losses. The opinions and advice from the host guests do not necessarily represent those of the owner, staff, management, or broadcasters of the show. No legal, accounting, or financial or health advice is made in the show. You're advised to seek counsel on matters related to your business, financial investments, or other legal matters from licensed advisors. Always consult your physician or licensed health advisor prior to making any changes in your diet, exercise program, and implementing any health strategies or information discussed on the shows. Not all information provided may be suitable for your situation. As always, take full responsibility for the decisions and actions you take, including the responses that they create in your health.